Hello, I'm Emily Thomas with the BBC News. The federal police in Brazil have indicted the former president Jair Bolsonaro for suspected fraud about his COVID vaccination. The Ministry of Health has information suggesting he had a COVID vaccination on July 19, 2021 in São Paulo. However, investigations found that he was in the capital, Brasilia, on that date. This report from Ione Wells.
Jair Bolsonaro, who was a COVID skeptic, vowed publicly to never get the COVID vaccine when he was in office. Yet some of his health records say he did receive the vaccination, which, for example, would have allowed him to travel to the US at a time when most foreign visitors had to be vaccinated. Last year, his house was raided by police as part of the investigation. He has repeatedly denied any knowledge of his records being tampered with. After his indictment by police, the former president told Reuters he was calm and claimed the world knows he did not take the vaccine.
Hong Kong's legislature has followed through on a command from China to pass sweeping security legislation, giving the authorities even more power to crack down on opposition. Article 23 expands on a security law imposed earlier by Beijing. The new clause establishes harsher penalties, such as life imprisonment, for offences such as treason, and it's been broadened to target new crimes such as external interference and insurrection. The authorities say this law is needed to ensure stability in Hong Kong, and the territory's chief executive, John Lee, said signing the legislation was a momentous occasion.
Today is an historic moment for Hong Kong, an historic moment Hong Kong has been waiting for 26 years, 8 months and 19 days. I will sign the Safeguard National Security Ordinance, which means that the ordinance will officially take effect on March the 23rd, 2024.
Critics say the vague definitions within the law will further erode civil liberties and would lead to a new era of authoritarianism. The head of the European Council, Charles Michel, has called on EU countries to shift their economies to a war footing. In an opinion piece carried by a number of European publications, Mr. Michel again said Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine posed the greatest security challenge since the Second World War. He argued that if Europe did not give Ukraine enough support to stop Russia, the EU would be next, and he warned that Moscow was continuing to try to destabilise Moldova, the Western Balkans, the South Caucasus and parts of Africa. The US Defence Secretary, Lloyd Austin, said Western democracies would not allow Russia to win.
Ukraine won't back down, so our message today is clear. The United States will not let Ukraine fail. This coalition will not let Ukraine fail, and the free world will not let Ukraine fail.
The US Defence Secretary there. You're listening to the latest world news from the BBC.
The WORT Board of Directors will hold its regularly scheduled meeting on Wednesday, March 20th at 7 p.m. virtually via Zoom. The public is welcome to attend. For instructions on how to attend this meeting, email president@wortfm.org.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Just Coffee, Madison's Fair Trade Roasting Cooperative. Just Coffee buys fair trade coffee to ensure equitable conditions for coffee grower cooperatives around the world and roasts locally in small batches. More information at 204-9011 or on the web at justcoffee.coop.
Support for this program comes from DaneNet. Since 1996, this Madison nonprofit has focused on digital equity, both by providing professional IT, tech, and website support to other nonprofits in Dane County, as well as digital equity programming in the community. DaneNet's goal isn't to make a profit. It's to help leverage technology in order to increase the efficiency and impact of nonprofit organizations. Nonprofit organizations looking for IT, tech, or website support can visit danenet.org for more information. That's Dane as in Dane County and net as in nothing but net. danenet.org.
You're listening to WORT 89.9 Madison. Listener sponsored community radio.
The People's Station.
No justice! No peace! No justice! No peace! No justice! No peace! No justice!
No peace! No, I say you've been misled. You've been had. You've been took.
Man, listen, this is 2023, and we swinging chairs. I am not my ancestors, B.
Good morning, Madison.
Okay.
Tuesday, it's cold. It's chilly.
Freezing.
But it's still, I'm going to still say, spring has sprung.
Has it?
We're going to get into it because I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. But good morning, Mad Town. Welcome to the Tuesday 8 o'clock buzz. It's your girl, Tara, a.k.a. Tia the Plug.
The Plug.
Who else am I with?
You know who you with. They know who you with.
Oh my God.
Our more in the building, baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
And my girl, where are you at? What you doing, mama?
Where are you reporting from? Reporting from where?
Live from New York City.
Always.
You know, I can't be jealous of people I love, but if I was going to be jealous right now, you know I'd be a little jelly because you're in my spinot.
I'm in your city, girl.
Take me with you next time.
She back home, too. Like, I be feeling like I'm comfortable, but you for real comfortable with your people, so blessings.
Dude, yeah, she's just can't smiling. See the picture. It's a lot sunnier there, too.
She's so happy. She's just glad to be
Look,
in
she
New
wasn't
York.
Even going
to
rub that part in. Here comes John. It's sunnier there, too.
She's just smiling. She's just in heaven over there while we in Madison. Do your thing, mm-hmm. Lo. Do your thing.
Well, I'm just saying, weed is legal here.
Oh.
Do your thing, Lo. Do your thing. Happiness.
Wait, and it's more than legal. It's like walk down the street in front of the police smoking. Nobody flinches legal.
Oh, yes.
Imagine
that. Oh, yeah.
I just want you to imagine.
I'm coming.
You're walking down the street.
It's a lot easier here.
Yeah. Okay. We imagine that for a moment. The peace, the
what
calm.
What part of New York you at? Where you at in New York?
Right now, I'm in the lower part of the Bronx.
The Boogie Down? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ain't never been to New York, but if I was to be from New York, I'd be from the Bronx. That's kind of where I'm. Either Brooklyn or the Bronx, that's the kind of guy I am.
Nobody wants to be from the Bronx.
But you see, I kind of looked over. But we get this image in the Midwest. I mean, across the world, but we definitely get an image. Whenever, last summer when I was telling people that I was really discovering how much I enjoy going New York, specifically Brooklyn, they'll start talking to me like, oh, some son. And you know how movies make us think. And I'm like, bro, nobody actually talked to me like that.
Nobody
really sounded like that, bro.
Word is bond, son. Word is bond.
If anything, I feel like some of the slang and the way that we talk in the Midwest, like there's things, I was just looking at a meme or a video, something was talking about, you know you from Chicago when, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everything they said, I was like, yep. And then I thought about how much of that culture, like how much the migration from Chicago to Madison has also influenced me, because I grew up in Madison and I was like, oh, I do that. I do that too.
Dang, you know what?
Right?
What's crazy is when they tore all the projects down in Chicago, they gave out a lot of like low income housing vouchers.
Yeah.
And a lot of people wanted to stay in the city. So there's a huge migration that happened from Chicago to New York.
Okay.
Which is why you find GDs and folks and GDK out here now.
Oh, that's
out
there now.
They all migrated to the projects up here in New York.
Oh, I ain't know they let the GDs up there in New York. I thought that.
Oh, yeah.
Let me know.
We don't let them down here in Chicago. We don't let Crips and Bloods in them down here, so I'm surprised that they let them. But whatever. It's not my business. It's not my business.
Y'all everywhere.
Yeah.
My son is incarcerated in Nevada, and it's the plethora.
Yeah.
He's dealing with everything from Yakuza cartels, Crips, Bloods, and then the same gangs that we have here in our area.
Then like, there's a couple of cities that...
And then, you know, they also break it down by race.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's a lot. When he was first learning the ropes around there, it was confusing to me. But he's got a grasp, obviously, now. But it's a lot of interesting politics in different cultural areas. But the Midwest, as much as we tend to be the last to get things, right? It bounces from the coast to down south and makes it to the Midwest. I feel like our influence spreads out across.
Absolutely. Right?
Because we move. We want to be up out the cold. That's what it is. Yeah, we get to going. We be like, yeah, I'm from Wisco, but I'm over here, and then I'm over there.
Even growing up, like we being in the Midwest, you get to choose what type of like music you like, right? Like
for sure.
You might be, because I'm from New York. that's the type of music I listen to, and I always have. And I got homies that's only West Coast, homies that's only down south. At least you get to choose in the Midwest. It's not just
that's true.
Yeah,
I definitely have an eclectic taste of music.
I think
the Midwest, and I mean, I was just in Milwaukee. I was telling my brother, I said, man, there's literally no. I've lived in New York for years, and there's no place like Milwaukee.
Interesting.
There's no place like Milwaukee. The Midwest is different. We've like created our own everything here.
Yeah.
Like a hodgepodge of
talking, yeah. Our own everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like in Milwaukee, if there's a girl that's irritating you, she's called a gnat gnat.
Ain't no way I'm calling somebody a gnat gnat.
I mean, gnats are annoying.
They're just
insignificant, but so bothersome. I get it.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
And then you double it up, it's always making it smaller. You're not just a gnat. You a gnat gnat. That's like when you add your little something in front of it, gnat gnat. Okay. And you're right, though. Milwaukee has, for it to be so close, they've definitely got their own Midwest culture, for sure.
They do.
Shout out to the MKE.
Oh, MKE.
You know when we texting, we hitting the MKE, the CHI, like, you know.
Oh, remember we went to Milwaukee, the spoken word spot? Remember the guy that knew me? The dude that knew me, he got a little drunk that night?
Which one? Yeah. Look, I'm like, which one?
He reached out to me, he's doing something in Milwaukee, sometime in May. So I may do something with him in Milwaukee. It ain't my thing.
And here, you didn't even know that was a perfect segue when I said spring has sprung.
Or did I?
Oh, you know how they like to take credit. Okay. When I said spring has sprung, I'm talking about, hey now, Mr. Antoine McNeil, one motion himself in the building.
In the building, what up, bro?
And he's coming in smooth. He ain't coming in with the flying five heartbeats. My man just slid in. Like,
slid
good
in
morning,
like,
y'all.
Like duck.
Okay, but like back duck. To the spring has sprung. The energy, first of all, my own personal energy has shifted back. You know, thank goodness. And like it's swirling around me. First of all, I felt like March was going to be something. We were hoping February would have been the shift, but March is really feeling
March.
Right. But I can't tell you how busy my line is right now. I spent the last Sunday and Monday running from meeting to meeting to meeting. And people are ready to do it. They're already doing it. I'm looking, so some of y'all don't believe me, but I really do hop off Facebook periodically. It's only on my laptop. So I have to go to the laptop, log into Facebook, and I'm there. So if you see me posting, it's my story. Because Messenger, I use Messenger like people, it's like email and text, people just on there. And so I couldn't get rid of that, so that gives me access to my story. So I'll post on my story and stay in touch like that, but I'm really not on my timeline as regularly. So I come back today, early this morning, and I have invites. I can't even get through them all right now. Y'all is reaching out, inviting me to some dope stuff. So not only are people out here creative and ready to partner and collaborate and think about how do they create the thing that they've been up all winter imagining, but some of y'all is all on top of it, already got your promo out, already inviting us to it. So I can't wait to share some of the awesome, dope stuff coming up. But also, that's what I mean when I say spring is sprung. People are activated and ready to go. Mm-hmm. And the energy, and it's, I'm loving it. And then we did get a couple sunny days, you know, of course, spring. Everybody was like, ooh, spring, when we had those really nice days. Mm-hmm. Couple, you know, we all got out there and hit that first barbecue.
Like, yeah, it's back. It's summertime.
Right?
Let's
go. I was like, cool out. It's Wisco. Right? Like, right. Don't put that winter coat away just yet. So I'm not disappointed that it's cold, because I already know. I got May babies, and it's like, I always had to wait right to the moment or get a couple outfits, because you never knew what the weather was going to give you. We didn't know if we were barbecuing or sledding. John laughing because he know it's real. Like, you didn't know. Those beginning of May babies. Once y'all get to the end, you know it's safe, but.
Yeah.
Man,
I mean, it's Wisconsin. You ain't never saved.
I feel like Andrew just said something similar over here in the corner, getting us set up on the live. But you're right. Wisconsin is full of surprises. Mm-hmm. Man, welcome to the Tuesday 8 o'clock buzz on WORT, WORT 89.9
yeah,
FM.
Yeah.
The crew is in the house. We love when y'all tune in with us, whether you're online or live on the radio, however you catching up with us, you tapped in. We love it. Boy, so the fellas held it down last week.
Oh, man. I mean, that's what we do. It ain't nothing.
Right? Wait, I love
it
that.
It ain't nothing.
Tell her
it ain't nothing.
Tell her again. I appreciate that, sir. I just read a post where somebody was talking about basically if you have a man in your life that does these things and listed off a list of things that we attribute to gentlemen, that we need to value and love them because there's not enough of y'all.
Agreed.
And I agree. And I responded in the comments like, truth be told, as a woman, when I made space to accept it, expect it, like literally, you know, stepped out the way. Mm-hmm. Literally stopped walking mm-hmm. up and grabbing my own door, just stepped out the way and acted like I expected it. They show up.
How do I act? Yeah, me too, well, Lolo. I wish y'all would open the door and I'm around. I'll bust you upside your head. I'm opening this
ain't that,
door.
Look,
but see, wait, but what if it's two doors, though? Because you know you open the one and then it's another door for them to come through?
I'm opening the door.
So I've learned to step back for that one, too, because that used to be. So okay. Here, my struggle was, first, I would, like he's saying, I was always grabbing stuff in there. Then a few of the men around me were like, stop playing. Just stop. Just step back. So I started getting used to that. Then it was that second door, right? I would go open that second door.
Open the second one, yeah.
And then I didn't think about it at all as we were exiting. Exiting, yeah. We talking, we on the back end of a good conversation, a meal, and I just hit the dough. But I've been making myself take the pause, right? Because what I recognize is that door opening is a simple, small gesture that makes both parties feel good.
Yeah, let me do that. Mm-hmm. Let me do that.
Well, it's a simple thing that we can do to empower each other. It's crazy.
Can I state this as a gentleman, right?
Okay, come on.
Because I always say this because it's funny because I hear the way people think men are supposed to act from women.
Mm-hmm.
It's not typically a thing. A man is talking to another man. A man, hey, dog, you open the door. It's typically sometimes coming from a woman, right?
Yeah.
Which is interesting because the opposite sex giving, like, it's okay for you to say what you want, your preferences are, versus you saying this is how men are supposed to be.
Yeah.
I had a friend, we was talking, and then she continuously kept saying, as a man, and then she would say what's supposed to happen. And she was like, as a man. And after like the sixth time, I'm like, are you a man?
Right.
How are you going to tell me what a man should do?
Yeah.
I'll give you this idea, though. As far as in the door, if a man is a gentleman enough to open a door, if it's a two-door situation, he open a door for you, you walk up, why not open the second door for him? I'm just saying the thought process. I ain't saying you have to, but I'm just saying, in my mind, I consciously think of it. If I can't get to it quick, I ain't no butler, I ain't no chauffeur. So if I open that first door and you get to the next one, I ain't got to run and get G's and grab that. If I grab the first door and if I see if your hands is little, is it part of privilege? You think you prissy or you going to open a door for me? If I, you know what I mean?
Now you confusing me, brother.
It's like if I buy the meal, will you tip or something? Come on,
okay, listen. They just trained me and now you throwing in with the logic.
Wait, hold on. Now,
I promise you, part of the reason why I was grabbing that door is because it didn't occur
that
to me,
sense.
Right? And then also, if I really go back to my 90s upbringing, it was a sign of mutual respect and adoration. He hit that first door, got me in the car, and I leaned over, right? Now, anybody getting in Pretty Baby, I'm sorry, she's too wide. I can't reach. But I just know mentally, I'd be over there opening that door for y'all. But if women who got trucks and wide-body cars, I'm sorry, y'all. Unless she's stretched, it might not happen. But the intent is there. But I agree with you. I didn't think as much about opening the door. And then also, of course, the common courtesy. So, but I also say, one, what I said is what we a tribute to a gentleman, right? Because I acknowledge exactly what that is. As a mom of a son, I am acutely aware of how what I think and want from a man shows up in his definition of a man. And so I've had to go outside of sometimes even their daddies out into the community to introduce my sons to different types of men so that they can start to figure out what a man is for themselves. And I definitely hold cultural norms, right? I was raised by a father who did certain things, so that aligns with my expectations of a man, but it definitely is what I'm comfortable with and what I want. But we also have to recognize that cultural norms around gender definitely inform. So a woman that's saying as a man, yes, she's speaking as a woman, and we need to check that in ourselves and be real and understand that a man can is the only person that can show us what it is to be a man, and then each man has to define that for himself. But the reality is that we do get told what a man and a woman is. Y'all judge us based on values that culture has given to y'all as well. It's amazing how I've had to educate grown men on things like you'll never figure the character of a woman by her outfit. Right? But men will talk and treat ladies and talk about ladies and come at ladies on how they dress. Some of the stuff I overhear when brothers have decided I'm not an option and, you know, y'all just get to talking loose-lipped, it be blowing my mind. And like, I'd be like, that's so ignorant. Right?
So my son.
So to think a short skirt mean anything about me other than today I'm wearing a short skirt, you mistaken, because I know there's get downs that's in a suit and tie looking like, ooh, baby, they don't. And just like there's not a time of day or night that I can show up at your house that means I'm here for that. Right? It's that happens at any hour, any moment. That's about the mood and the vibe. That ain't about the clock, baby.
Janet Jackson.
But it's funny to me how people have an association, like, oh, if it's after 10, it must be boy
so
bye.
So my oldest son just turned 21. Him and his girlfriend been together a little bit. And I taught him some things, open doors and all that. So they pull up on me in the car one day. The two of them, we chop it up, talk for it, and then when they leave, he was gonna drive. She had drove there, but leaving, my son was gonna drive to leave. And when they got to the car, my son was like headed to the passenger side, but his girlfriend was just standing at the door at the driver's side looking at him, and he kind of caught her eye. And he came back over and he opened the driver's door for her. And he looked at me like,
you set him up.
Nah, because I always tell him open door, but I ain't never said open the car door. That's where I draw the line.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
That's where I draw the line. I'm not opening your door.
It seems like a level of entitlement and privilege.
That's a little much. No, I'm not opening your door. Come on. But the thing is about him is that his girlfriend taught him that. She 21 too. Sense. I honor that. If she told you that's what she needs, then you need to do that for her. And I ain't got no problem with that. But I told him to open every door to every building door. I didn't go as far as vehicle because I've never opened a vehicle, and I ain't saying that I'm above doing it. But I never
it went in your thought process.
It never even crossed my mind. Let me open this door. Come on, girl. I'll pull up and pick you up. I'll pull up to you. You wait here. I'll go get the car. Once I bring this car, if you think I'm finna get out this car,
like a butler.
Not saying that you're not worth it. You don't deserve it. That's just not something like that I'm used to doing. But it's fun watching my son doing that. Like, it's dope. Like, okay, keep doing that. That's the right thing to do. Just because I didn't teach you to do it don't mean it ain't. You know what I'm saying?
It ain't the right thing to do. So that's cool. To unwrap.
The young lady who was talking about what you talking about. Have a mixed feelings. Let's go. But it's interesting. The young lady who told me as a man, and I respected what she was saying, how she was coming from it, was how she was saying it. She grew up with her dad. She saw her dad doing that thing for her mom. Mm-hmm. So that logically it makes sense, but also in the same sense, it's about how you communicate. So I was talking about this. I just used the concept as a man, because it's been a prevalent thing, not just in actuality, but online. Most times I go see anything about a real man should a woman.
I hear guys right sometimes. As
soon as I see that, my soul irks. I told myself last night, if I screenshot in the day, not who do it, screenshot what people think a man should do and put that up by the end of the day, you'll be amazed. And it's typically coming from women. And I'm not trying to do the gender bias thing because I'm not. It doesn't matter like who's right, who's wrong. Like, can we come on some commonality? Can we stop fighting each other? Can women say what women should do? Can men motivate other men? That's kind of what I'm saying. And you can say what your preference is. Because if we having a conversation, I keep coming to you and Lolo talking about as a woman, you're going to be like, man, what's wrong with you?
I mean, I think a lot of that, though, like, you have the Darren Jacksons of the world who came out and it was, you've got this man that is literally validating everything every woman ever thought, believed about him.
I wanted to head up with Darren Jackson.
Men had problems with it. And on the adverse, you have, what's his name? God, may it rest in peace. He just passed away.
Kevin Samuels.
Yeah,
Kevin Samuels, where it's like he gets on there and he starts speaking and it validates everything every man ever thought, ever felt, ever believed. And so we're also looking at this cultural thing where men are telling women what they should expect. And then, I mean, with Darren Jackson, it all came out that he was nothing of what he
said. At all.
I mean, didn't Come we already? Now. Anyway, I'm
the man knew it.
I we think knew. Real, I swear, I knew it.
I was like, "Dog, dude is outrageous."
I knew.
Right. Outrageous. And the ladies like, "This is they sharing me videos of
he
him."
He knew
I'm
what
like,
his
trash.
Cute self needed to get them likes.
When he came out, I was like, "You got
good
bit
looking
by the
man,
bug.
Validating every woman
in
the world."
I've been sent his video. Right, girl sent me his video. Like, you see what he said? I don't care what he said.
But I want to say, it's there's so much in what you said. So going back to what you said about entitlement.
Yeah, privilege.
So there's a bit of that. Like, I felt it too in the, like, she's standing at the door looking at him like, you gonna come get the door? And one, I feel like individuals have to communicate, mm-hmm. right? And you have to figure out what your expectations and what you want and communicate that amongst each other. Agree on it. And where do we get them from? We can't invalidate that culture and how we were raised in our own family, the things we had and we didn't have are what dictates what we expect. And then for me, anytime I get to something where it's like I'm in this ambivalent middle space where I'm like, ooh, I see that point, mm-hmm. I see that point, I start thinking about, like, what's the objective? When you open my door, or the idea of a man opening a door for a woman, what's the point? Is it just a good gesture? Is it the thought that I deserve to have these things done for me as a way of being loved? Is it that I can't open the door? Like, what is the thought process?
Maybe
where did it start and how did we get there? Because what I know is it feels like we're moving from a space of recognizing each other. It feels like we're doing the work to help each other stay within masculine and feminine roles in a relationship. And maybe that's just because that's a thing that I'm experiencing right now. And then it also, it feels empowering and uplifting to feel supported by men in that way. But it's not the same if I have to be like, ain't you about to open this door? Mm-hmm. Now it's shifted. And it also isn't always the same for every man. Like, there's a level of you opening the door for me and holding it out of common politeness. And I do that. I definitely do that for my elders. And then it becomes not about gender. It becomes about age for me. And I appreciate when strangers do it for me as well, but there's something special to be said about the feeling that comes when you step out with somebody, especially somebody you're dating or liking in that way, and they take those extra steps to pause for you to open the door, and especially when you get to the point where it is comfortable, where you're no longer running to grab that second door, but right, we in that... That's an amazing, uplifting feeling. And if that's such a simple thing that you could do. And then I also will say that while a man opens the door for me, there's things as a woman that I'm going to show up and reciprocate in my feminine energy. Right. Mm-hmm. There's extra little things that I'm going to do.
That's the part that I'd be interested in.
That I want a man to expect from me, that validates me if he expects those things and asks those things of me. Like, little things like coming and doing tasks.
Yeah.
Me and you were just having a conversation about cooking plates, people providing, feeding me, right?
Man, that just sounds good as an idea.
How am I supposed to know you like me if you ain't fed me?
Man, if that.
I mean,
oh,
I can
Lord,
say that.
Right, but.
Y'all used to tease me last summer that I'm showing up sounding like a dude because I'd be talking about going and collecting plates with y'all. But it's not that I'm not. It's not that I'm not domestic enough to cook. I didn't raise all these kids. Lord, y'all know I can make a meal. And I really don't. I don't have a lot of time. I don't cook for myself.
We don't know that.
Some of y'all men know that. The ones in my family know that. But boy, Billy, I'm moving and shaking. So for me, the equivalent of sitting down cooking for you, if I sit down and cook for you, it's because we made time to be on vacation or something. But in my real life, it's probably somebody cooking for me. But if I show up and drop you off something, if I'm running to the store running an errand for you, if when I'm in the store, I'm asking you what you need, that those are the ways that I'm providing your food, your the that's the feeding you part for me.
So let me just interject this. I opened doors because of my grandmama, Otha Grady. She told me that I have to open up the door for every woman and every elderly person. So
yeah, that's what I told you.
I get a thought, like, when I'm telling you don't go in that door. Lolo know it too. I don't let Lolo open no doors either. I snap a little bit. But during that snap, I'm thinking of my grandmama. Just that moment, every time I open up the door for a woman or an elderly person, I'm reminded of my grandmama. And if you don't open the door, don't let me open the door, I'm liable to say, yo, my grandmama rolling over in her grave. Let me get this door for you. I will say that. You know what I mean? That's just something that was ingrained with me. My grandma made it. So now I can't not open the door for a woman.
That makes sense that somebody taught you that, right? Yeah. I can say no one has actually taught me that, probably besides the woman who I was talking about, who's saying, like, as a man, like, but she was telling me how her father says things, right? And it's one thing to do something because you want to, because you have a desire to do. It's another thing to do something out of where someone feels obligation. Like, oh, I need you to, like, let me want to call you. Let me want to miss you. Don't try to press me. Don't try to force me, because you're going to get a different version of me, right? And then you don't want somebody to open that door begrudgingly. And then we were talking about, like culture. Like you said, your grandmother taught me that, like, that's not something that my grandmother or mother, somebody taught me. I just start watching in turn, like, okay, this seems to be something like gentlemen. But we also have to look at culture. Which culture? Western society culture? Are we looking at assimilated white people culture? Are we looking at black people culture? Are we looking at the culture of love, or what it is now versus what it is then? And you also still got to remember values. And to be 100% true, while we talking on Two Turned Up Tuesday, a lot of us that came through, listen to the music and the people we've been around. I grew up around pimps, macks, hustlers, gangsters, killers. Listen to the music. I wasn't going around listening to slow jams and stuff like that. I go around listening to all it, and the people I went through had many and multiple women. So it wasn't like open the door for her. It's the opposite of all of that, right? Mm-hmm. So I have to come to unlearn certain things and reprogram myself. So when we, like, a man should be doing this, you don't even know what he's been through. The average man will probably lie to you and woo and try to cheat on you. But now it takes the mind to be like, do I want to lie? Do I want to cheat? So when you're talking about a man, I think we have to continue to know the difference between a man and a male. A male will have private parts, as you know what I mean, physically, has the stuff that they can identify with gender. The man typically should have the behavior of a man, and you're trying to learn. It's a constant thing. It's not like a man book and these are all the things you do. You got to constantly know how to be a father, how to learn, how to, you know what I'm saying? So when people talk about what, you know, what men should do, I'd rather hear that coming from a man. Mike Epps was saying something. I'm like, okay, I feel that. And then even if it's coming from a woman, tell me what type of man you want and you like and you prefer, not like all men should. Are you raising your son this way? Was your dad in your life? Was your uncles? Do you have positive men or role models? So coming to project to me what they want is a little hesitant. I'm like, okay, slow down. Tell me what you like, and I can decide if I want to do that or not. But you can't come to me full force like, I'm finna air you out, and this is what you should do as a man. Because if I came to them as a woman, what you should do, I would be bogus, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So this is another time we need to beep, 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 beep.
Right. And I think it goes a lot back to what Tara was saying. It's like, have you discussed these things? I was raised by my father. My father taught us that children open the door for adults, men open the door for women. Mm. So it didn't matter that I was a young lady. I was holding the door open for my dad and for my mom. I was holding the door open. Door first, I held it open for my brother. But I never saw my stepmom ever touch a door, you know, unless she was walking by herself. But I also saw this this short video of a woman who was saying that she loves that her husband brings her flowers every week, but he didn't used to. And she used to get upset because she would drop these hints that, I just love flowers every week. I love fresh flowers. And he didn't buy them for her, but he thought it was awesome that she liked fresh flowers, but it wasn't, to him, it wasn't the hint. And when they went to therapy, she told her therapist, I tell him every week that I just love fresh flowers and he's never gotten them for me. And she said, well, did you ever ask him? Mm-hmm. And for women, we think that somehow the value is diminished if we have to ask them to do what it is that we like. And I mean, in reality, nothing else in the world works that way. Nobody else in the world knows what you like unless you ask them to do it for you, unless this is what you tell them. So I think it goes back to what Tara was, what are the terms of your relationship? Don't tell me what a man looks like. Tell me what you want in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you want from your partner. Tell me what makes you become softer as a woman. Mm. And then, you know, as a man, tell me what raises your testosterone. Tell me what you like. So mm-hmm. it's just, because honestly, those are the two things that are going to make you fall in love. How soft can a woman be, and how much of a of his testosterone can he, you know, be able to pursue or maintain while he's with you? The minute that you start nagging on him, you're pouring estrogen into that man, and he needs another boost. Mm.
Yeah, I love Come y'all. On. Let me tell you.
I got it right. Masculine and feminine ain't nothing but exchange of energy.
Let me just say.
It ain't nothing but exchange of energy.
First of all, I need to get like you and write notes. I love these conversations with y'all. And I want to switch the focus just a little bit, because we're talking a lot about opening the door. But here's something, because we meant to talk about parenting and co-parenting today. Y'all wouldn't believe this.
Talk about
But one of the things that's been a rub with one of my kids' dads is I grew up in a house where my father handled certain chores, right? Mm-hmm. Him and my brother always mowed the lawn. Even when I was like excited to try to, like, you know, I wanted to push the mower too. It was a thing that he did. He handled the lawn. He took the garbage out. He took care of the cars. And so I grew up with those things attached to how a man should take care of his household and his family. And so my son is our primary garbage. This is your job. Okay. That's not to say that me and my daughters can't or won't take mm-hmm. the trash out, but it is his responsibility, right? And I've been told that I'm being sexist, and I don't care. This is how I'm running my house. This is what I was raised with, right? This is really a thing. Just like he's going to be, if I will pull up from the grocery store and bring my purse in the house mm-hmm. and tell him, go out there and start grabbing them bags. Now, if it's a lot of bags, I'm going to tell his sisters, get up and go too, because it's also the kids in the house. But there's just certain other things that I also attribute to a man other than, right, just opening that door.
You're talking gender norms. I'm teaching the opposite of that. Right? My daughter, take out the trash.
Yeah.
I teach her that on
purpose. I get that sense of you, sir.
on purpose, because you don't know what somebody is going to do when it's like, I can be gone one day, right? And now the partner
that's
that you get
rub.
With, yeah.
I just was told the other day by somebody that I had asked to put tire in my air in my tire, that I was an independent woman, and that he was sure I could do it. And I said, I definitely could do it. I definitely could do it. And I'm asking you to do this as an act of service to me. Yeah. It's cold.
It ain't what you say, it's how you say it sometimes.
Well,
right?
It was also the way a person feel, because I can remember just a little while ago when he'd hopped out the car as if it was his job, right?
Yeah.
And so it's also about how much do you want to give. But the scenario was me expecting that it's a cold, dirty, hard job, so you're the man and you should do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not making a judgment either way on that. I'm just being honest that
I
was
no,
right.
That's real.
And him being like, oh, you're an independent woman. Yeah. You could do it too. The question is never if I could do it.
He was telling you,
I was raised as a woman. I could do anything, right? Anything I put my mind to. And then I was raised in a generation that said things like, if a man could do it, a woman can do it better.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, that was a thing. Like I'm a baby in the 70s. So 70s to 80s, women empowerment, you know, anytime we empower and revolt and liberate, there's a side to it that turns dark and goes too far.
Very.
And
listen,
so
we have to unlearn. Yeah. I think we have to unlearn. We don't live in the same generation.
Say it again.
Yeah,
we're not raising our kids in the same generation that we mm-hmm. were raised at. And I completely believe that that I'm raising my kid like I was raised is not a good idea. Because
mm-hmm.
This ain't the same world that we grew up in. Like, for instance, my son, I got the particular son I'm talking about, he's never been to go outside and play and go. Like, mm-hmm. I loved it. I had to go outside and play. Mm-hmm. Go outside, don't come back in the house. But this is a world where we have things for these kids. They have, you know, entertainment systems and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Even my little son, the cartoons that he's watching are educational. So, okay, watch them cartoons instead of stop watching cartoons all day and go outside. Well, it's a different world. Stop raising these kids like we were raised. This ain't the world we was raised in. It's a brand new times. I get it. This is how you was raised and it worked for you. Cool. That ain't what the times we are living anymore. This is a whole brand new slate, clean slate, figure it out.
Yes,
it shouldn't be based on how you were raised and the morals that you were given to an extent.
Right, because I was going to say yes, and there's also a true commentary in the world that we need to bring some of that back. That part of the dysfunction in the world is I was one of those, because I was right on the cusp, right? I had an Atari in the basement and I had a neighborhood full of kids and we dominated the backyard, right? Like it was, I was out as soon as breakfast was done, I was outside until the mosquitoes was,
old school days.
Right? But I also spent time with my cousins and playing Frogger, right? So I had both. And what the draw was that was never going to have me in the basement longer than I was outside was the community that I had outside in to play with. So that, and then there was somebody all up and down my street and three blocks over that knew me, knew who I belonged to, and was going to look out for me. Like, if something happened, I was going to get home. My mama was going to know it happened. If I was out there being what was happening, they was going to be like, Shorty.
Is that community still there for these kids now?
I mean,
you get what I'm saying?
So how do we create that community if we're not instilling those values? So what you're saying is accurate. We have to prepare our kids for a different world, but we can't turn away from some of the things that some of those things we need to bring back.
Some of those things are outdated. Some of those things are outdated.
Of course, because they were intended to manage the times that they were created.
Right.
Just like some of the stuff we do now is specifically created to manage and make meaning of the time that we're living through now.
I feel like you compliment his point so much, just in the sense that you're saying we have to adjust to the times, right? And I get what you're saying, like, not throw everything out, right? Like, let's take some of the things that work, if that makes sense. But a whooping worked back in the days, if that makes sense.
That's another level.
But you can't technically supposed to whoop a kid now, because if you do it, you lose your life and your livelihood.
I just shared this with Lo in our training last week, that also, in my mind, that's part of how we internalize white supremacy. Where did we learn that physical lashes were how you correct a behavior? How do we dominate and control each other? Where did that come from? Slave masters, right? The whipping, right? And so corporal punishment has its place, right? Because I definitely, there was a time where popping on the hand was the only way my kid was going to get it, other than getting electrocuted, right? Like it was those times. And this idea that Black Americans own culturally whooping, which is corporal punishment, physical punishment, and that we are somehow missing that, and why we are missing discipline of our kids, is, to me, it's a marker of how we've internalized some white supremacy.
Well, I tell you what, listen, growing up, I might have got whooped by somebody else who did. Don't touch my child. I don't care who you is. Don't touch my, don't put your hands, call me or his mama. Don't put your hands on my child. I don't care what his name is.
I was not raised in a white
house. If you put my hands on my child, you better be related to him.
Most of y'all who know me know.
You better be his cousin, his auntie, his sister. Don't put your hands on my child. Unless we related and very closely related, where I understand what's going on with you.
I raised a child from the time he was 8 months old to he was 9, almost 10. Couldn't get his dad involved.
Yeah.
It's from my understanding. You get what I'm saying? Because a lot of times it's the mom and the dad. Holler at me directly, right?
Right.
I say to say, I raised a young man like he was my own, right? And there's some parts is like, there's some regrets. Because like, maybe I shouldn't have raised him like my own. And then there's a part like, I did what I had to do either as a man to help raise him. But I said it to say, I agree with you. It's been times where I, as a man, have been, our brains don't sit well like that. Like, you did what? It ain't the conversation. You don't even know the context, right?
Yeah.
So I say that because that involves community, who you rock with. You remember, so I'll give an example. Somebody was, they said, these kids are going wild at the middle school kids are going wild at the mall or something like that. And I knew my baby was at the mall.
Yeah.
I said, do me a favor. I said, when you get her, after you done checking her, then let me know.
Right.
So I deal with that community. It's the who and the purpose. I'll give you an example. My brother, somebody whipped your daughter. Like, who is it? My brother? Okay. That's different. I can see, her uncle. I'm like, still, we ain't got that relationship. That's her uncle on her mother's side. Let me holler at you and see what was going on, dog. You need a. So context does matter on that. I just say that because my dad didn't whoop me. And then one time my mother, a boyfriend, tried to whoop me. I'm like, I'm finna go shut the hell my daddy. And he finna tear your face off. Right. But me watching, dude was in his day-to-day action, you know what I'm saying, with us. And my dad wasn't in that day-to-day. Yeah. So it's just like, but he whooped his kids. But I don't have a, there's, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know the right or the wrong thing. I'm still erring on the side of don't touch mine.
I know you want to jump in though. Let me just say one thing. Yeah. So I've learned that it feels more like a class thing because low income whites
like
got whoopings too.
Yeah.
Right? Now that I sit in John's space with people who work like adults working through their trauma, that's a thing that exists in lower income white households for sure. Mm. And then also I would expect in other cultures, but talking about our experience, I would also say that, so I was raised, I was adopted and raised in a white household. And as that, how that showed up in my parenting was that often, I made children with all black men, come from black families. And so their families often would judge that I wasn't big on whooping the kids attributed to being raised in a white household. And so then there would be this conversation about that. But when I make space to listen to my black friends and members of my family, right?
Yeah.
Talk about when and how they received whoopings, like, sadly, 8 out of 10 stories, I was like, you were getting abused.
Yeah, abused or right? Discipline. That's
it was
the
not
difference.
Discipline. It was hit out of anger, hit with random, dangerous things. And we have normalized that. And that's the part where I'm like, we got to look at how it relates back to the trauma and the things inflicted upon generationally.
Agreed.
And how we've now made that thing. And anyway, now go ahead, Lo, because I just want to put out
there some real stuff.
I wanted to talk about the community aspect, and I think that it's a lot closer than what we all see in our mind. I grew up in New York City, okay? My dad came and brought me and my little brother up here from Madison, Wisconsin. And I didn't know until I was in my teenage years how many people he made friends with on a block-by-block basis.
There you go.
So that whenever my brother and I moved around this city, my dad always knew where we were at.
Yeah.
He always had a shop owner calling him and telling him, we just seen your kids. He always had a bodega owner calling him and telling him, yeah, we just saw your kids. Like we're talking about probably like a 20 block radius where my father made sure that he was in touch with, friends with, community with these people. So he never had to worry about his children running around New York City at 9, 10, 11 years old. I also wanted to speak to like Milwaukee. A lot of the times you find in Milwaukee communities on the block by block basis, my children, we live in Milwaukee right now. My children can go from 3 blocks down one way and 3 blocks down the other way because I know community. The parents on that block and I know their children. And so if I see Wu, which happens quite often, walking around looking at cars, I'm picking him up and we're going to your school and we're going to go talk to your principal as to why you're not in school right now, Wu.
Yeah.
And so I think community exists.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of who's applying it. Is it applicable to you?
You were given the example, and now you are emulating that example. You're creating the community. And that's the part that gets back to what we were already saying about that communication and that like our own, like how we show up in what we do. I'm sorry, I lost the thought, but you know what I'm saying. Like that,
it's
like our own individual responsibility in creating the community, right? Being part of it.
I'm from a small community. I'm born and raised in Beloit, and it's a very small city.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person in that city knows everybody else. There ain't no such thing as we don't know each other. But I'm just taking it back to don't touch my child when I said that.
Do not touch Nas.
None of them don't touch Nas, Janae, Zaire, or Xavier. Don't touch
Talk
nobody.
About it.
But the reason is because you know me. You know my child ain't doing wrong. But I don't know you. I don't know what you went through this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're
real.
I don't know if you mad.
Yeah.
I don't know if you mad at your sister because she just stole $2,500 from you, and now you trying. No, you don't touch. Call me because you know me because we ain't that far away from each other. Call me.
And
I got
think, it. You know, I think
I'm not
that
leaving my child's discipline up to your decision. No, I'm going to discipline him. His mama going to discipline him. His granny or something. But don't touch. Not even you. You my friend.
You,
call me.
You know.
Tell me my man, my son, my daughter's doing great.
I want to touch on this because I have a different level of experience. I would say than some people. I grew up getting whoopings. Like
me too.
I'm talking. Mm-hmm. I hear you. You know how everybody's like, we had different trauma. Like,
okay, I got.
Listen, I can listen. We ain't even going to exchange war stories.
Right.
But I came from war stories, right?
Right.
And I had my first son when I was 15 years old. And I did everything I could to try to like raise him right and blah, blah, blah. I think I was about 26 years old, man. My son was about 10 at the time. I disciplined him, right? The Caucasian people at the courthouse, in the police station, and in the school system don't understand the words whooping. There's a difference between discipline versus abuse, right?
Of course.
So if you say, I said, use your head, and they told me, was it with an open fist or closed fist? I'm like, wait, what? And if I say closed fist, it seems like I'm knocking on your head. If I say open, it seems like I'm slapping you. You can't point your hand without closing your fist, so to speak. I say this to say, some people, parents, I had to learn a hard lesson between discipline versus abuse.
Yeah.
So we were likely getting abused growing up, right? Mm-hmm. And because of that, we end up perpetuating that. So I'm looking like, wait a minute, I ain't even get him like that. I ain't even do that. Then people was like, yeah, put your hand behind your back.
Yeah.
Here's a felony. Now go with this.
Yeah.
Every time I talk to a person, I'm like, leave them kids alone. So my daughter ends up being part of a generation who's never been like physically disciplined, and it shows in a different way. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's funny because we can take those same kids, and I'm not talking about abuse.
Yep.
We're talking discipline. Those same kids that we try to discipline in our way, in our terms, if the police get them and discipline them different, it's no problem. They get vacation. They get time off. They can hurt them, sick the dogs.
Wow.
But you didn't listen to me.
3 minutes left.
But if them people, I say that to say, I learned a hard lesson between discipline and abuse, because when you get a felony on you and they take them kids out your house, you're going to rethink everything that you did and thought, whether you did discipline that child or not, because there's some kids who need discipline and we're not doing it because you think discipline just might be physical abuse.
Yeah.
No, it might be withholding stuff. It might be popping, thumping. Yeah, might teach them early. So when they get older, it's a different story. So then my older child who I disciplined and I got in trouble for, now he has a younger child, and I'm looking at him like, what you gonna do?
Yeah.
What you gonna do? You better start early with the discipline and not the abuse.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because like you said, you don't know what somebody going through, and a lot of people whoop their discipline out of anger. Dog, this ain't even that. Are you correcting?
That was always my first indicator. Am I coming, even for the conversation, am I coming from anger? Because I'm going to calm down. You go to your room, I'm going to go to mine, and I'm going to talk to you in this amount of time, because you done got, literally my kids will tell you, I'm like, you done got me up here. You need to go sit down while I calm down so we can talk about it. Ooh. Because that was one of the promises I also made to myself when I became a parent, is no matter what I did, I was not going to do it from anger.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That makes sense.
That I was going to move with them from logic and love.
I learned the hard way.
Man.
Trust me. They put a stamp on you like a scarlet letter.
But you know,
you get the F on you.
The training. So last week, the ladies of our crew were out because we were in a training, and we were doing a training with the county, and some of the people in that room work for and are in leadership around the Child Protective Services, and we bring up culture, and we talked about this, right? Because also, like, disproportionately, our babies are taken out of the house. Disproportionately, we are the ones that get those charges that you're talking about.
True.
And a lot of it is cultural. And so we brought that into the conversation, and we talked about it, and we're glad to see that there's a thought process where it aligns and they start to make space for those things and that don't bring back the ridiculous percentage of us that have had touch points with that system for those type of things. But... you know,
y'all better listen.
I want to close us out. As you know, this crew could talk about this forever. I see that there's comments up on the live, so I know y'all is tuned in and have things to say.
There was one comment that was dope, though.
And I want to make a moment to do the other thing I promised, which is talk about some of the dope stuff we got coming up.
That's right.
Because y'all getting busy. We over here getting busy. Y'all getting busy. Get ready for
Madison,
the city, right?
Out,
come on,
out.
Here we go. So Wednesday, started tomorrow. The 20th, Soul Karaoke. It's free at Cafe Coda. Black owned. We need to make sure that we support them when it's
Show
appropriate
up.
And we can get there, go there. It's a nice spot. He's a cool
what
dude.
What time it start?
It's at 7 p.m. tomorrow. Free admittance, Cafe Coda. Saturday, our favorite night at the TK.
Okay.
Let's go. Or my favorite, DJ Payne and Cupcake. We've been going back and forth trying to figure out when they're going to get on. They're going to be part of the pre-record because their lives are busy like ours. Okay. But so $15 advance tickets. Y'all know she sell out. Get them advance tickets. Don't play with yourself. $20 at the door. You're not getting in at the door unless you're there at 11 when it opens. Okay, but so this Saturday, 11 o'clock downtown at the Tavernakaya, which is the TK Late Night, March Madness, DJ Payne. He's been showing up in the community. He's been around for a long time, but I really love how we really seeing him more. Mm-hmm. Like I'm seeing him every event I go to. So shout out to DJ Payne. He's good people as well. All right, Thursday, we got our event. We are having our Shikari's Cool Cat collaboration. And I got to let y'all know.
Say that fast again. Shikari's what?
Shikari's Cool Cat collaboration.
Slow down.
Right? Okay, he thought he could give me. But look, so we usually do this. We show up. We show out at the Forward Club over there on East Mifflin. Their soccer season has started, so y'all gonna see us with a light flex showing a couple more venues, because y'all know y'all look to us a little bit for the new spots. So we're gonna be over at the Copa facility over there on Index.
It's a dope spot.
So I could get, because somebody hand me my phone, because I need the address for the Copa.
It's a dope spot.
I think I sent it to Chikari in the messenger. Hold on. The Copa facility is over there on the south side, Index Road.
When is that and what is
that? That is Thursday this week. Thursday? It's an open mic. Shikari is talented. She's gonna flex for a while. She always opens and closes the show with some. It's crazy. Amazing. They just featured her in the Isthmus.
I told her yesterday I was going to spit.
She's just really up and coming. I seen it early. She was one of our one of the folks at our Juneteenth last year, and she got off the stage, and I was like, me and you got to get connected, and we've been rocking ever since.
Yeah, that's what's up.
So 2841 Index Road, off of Fish Hatchery. It's the Copa facility, COPA. It's a dope new art space. It's not actually new, but it's resurging.
And what day is this?
So that's Thursday.
This Thursday?
7 p.m. to 10 o'clock. No cover. Y'all come out. If you're talented, get on the mic. If you love talent, come watch and clap and cheer.
I'm getting on the mic.
Okay. That's what we're talking about.
You spend new? Oh, what you going
to do? Something new. I got something new. I'm trying to get it out.
All right. Then Sunday. So then we know Saturday at the TK. Sunday, behind closed doors. So, this is an event that is a discussion on hidden mental health tolls on domestic violence. Brandi De La Rosa put this together. For those of y'all that know Brandi, you know that she is in tune and into this space. And this is going to be a safe, powerful space. We are going to hear stories, I understand, from folks who are just first time discussing this. And what I hope we have here, and I don't know if it's going to be there, is a male perspective. Because what we do, this is another space when we talk about gender, we demonize men in domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And we talk about women as survivors or victims. But I've been in mutually violent relationships, and that's not true for us.
Is this Domestic Violence Awareness Month as well?
Is it?
I think.
Somebody Google, is that the case? Because we're running out of time.
I feel like this is domestic
violence. But that's Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. over on Brearley. There's tickets. If you are on Facebook, look these things up. I said that I was interested in a bunch of stuff this morning, so now it'll be, I think, on my page. So go to my page, the Tara Wilhelmy page. But yeah, check these things out. That's just this weekend. I can't even get into all the stuff coming, y'all. It's so much. And another reminder to you all, if you have something coming up, you want to come on the show, talk about it, you want a topic, reach out to us, because this is a community show.
Call in.
Let us know what's to be talked about. We'll talk our faces
put
off.
It in the comments.
But we do want y'all input. We want to know. We want to give light and platform to as many of y'all as we can. Shout out to Mad Town. Thanks for tuning in for the Tuesday 8 o'clock buzz on Wart. I also want to make sure we talk about what Wart's got coming up. So we have Wartstock on May 19th. And there's a Wart 420 party on April 20th, 8 o'clock at the Crystal Corner. And so we want to always make sure that we talk about what our hostesses with the mostesses got. They the ones that put us out here for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Trusted a young lady when she showed up and said she wanted to talk to the people in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank y'all for tuning in. It's been beautiful. Take us out, John.
Yeah.
October is Domestic Violence Month. All right.
Okay.
You've been listening to Tuesday 8 o'clock Buzz on WRT 89.9 FM in Madison, Wisconsin.
coming up after this. 3 hours of folk music on Green Morning Radio. Brian Hirsch. But first, the Insurgent Radio Kiosk. See y'all next week.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Tuesday, March 19th.
This is Common Places. I'm Diego Alegría. Esto es Lugares Comunes. Mi nombre es Diego Alegría. We use metaphors to live by. Usamos metáforas para vivir. Some have become commonplaces. Algunas se han vuelto lugares comunes. Today's metaphor is... La metáfora de hoy es... Time is substance. El tiempo es sustancia. Arriba, adelante. Up, forward. Valor por unidad. Value per unit. Asignado, cuantificado. Assigned, quantified. Conforme, a propósito, con fin determinado. According, with regard to, with purposeful end. ¿Qué pasará? What will happen? El tiempo es sustancia. Time is substance.
Join Astronomy on Tap tonight at 7 o'clock to learn about a cosmic hum emanating throughout the entire universe. It's called the Stochastic Gravitational Wave Background. Its recent discovery marked the first direct observation of low-frequency gravitational waves. Students who worked on this project will talk about the importance of this discovery. That's Astronomy on Tap tonight at 7 o'clock at North Street Coffee Shop, 557 North Street. The Madison Fire Department is accepting applications for a new internship program aimed at cultivating